Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, and hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
I want to cover a subject that we've looked at before, but I think it's worth taking a peek at again this morning. And it is what I would describe as precious ornaments of grace. The unadorned tree. This year, when Rosemary and I bought a Christmas tree, we were not ready for it in the house, so I put it in a stand and stood it up in the garage for a few days. And I admired it each day as I came home from work. It was a beautiful little tree in its natural setting. But it was not until we brought it in the house and put all the decorations, all the ornaments on it, that it became a true symbol of Christmas. The ornaments set it apart from all other trees of beauty, but were unadorned for something special. And I thought to myself, you know, this is so much like people. You see a lot of folks that have all of the attributes of what the society thinks is important or beautiful, but they lack the ornaments that set one truly apart. They may be good looking. They may have a huge number of followers on Facebook. Lots of bling on their fingers, money beyond reason, celebrity, friends, of course, of the same group and the same kind. But they lack what we have spoken of in the past. They are not quickened by the Spirit. Nothing sets them apart from the rest because they have no ornaments as described in Scripture. Truly, they are what I would describe as walking dead men. So today I want to look at this subject to see what are these ornaments of grace, and we'll find that term in Scripture, ornaments of grace. What are these ornaments of grace? Where are they found? How do you get them? Because they are not available at Amazon or Walmart. So turn with you, if you will, to 2 Timothy in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 14. Paul speaking to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, Timothy, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, and are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Notice the scope of this statement by Paul. It begins with a child, Timothy. It ends with the man of God, thoroughly furnished. It opens with being wise concerning salvation. It leads with faith and ends in good works. Here in this statement, we find the whole pathway of the believer from the first breath of repentance and belief to the last breath of his life. They, the scriptures, and the wisdom thereof are found to be sufficient. Everything else is secondary. A similar passage to this is found in the Old Testament. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, page 870 in the Companion Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake not her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thee head an ornament of grace. Another reference is in chapter 1. Turn back in Proverbs to chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for then shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. I have great respect for this. And we've looked at this once before, and I'm going to do it again. It's an example that I think is a perfect example of what we see here. And the example is with my granddaughter, Carly. My granddaughter, Carly, has some African-American friends here some years back that described her as too white. And little did they know, the issue is not too white or white at all. The issue is the precious ornaments of grace around her head and neck, as we have read in these verses. From a child, like Timothy, she has known the Holy Scripture, which have made her wise unto salvation. She is perfectly furnished. It is not that she is too white. It is that these precious ornaments of grace make her stand out as different. And these friends noticed that, and they described it as being too white, not knowing what it was that made her so different from other kids. Because these ornaments of grace are contrary to what the world deems all right and necessary. Verse 11, they say, if they say, these friends of yours, like Carly's friends, if they say, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. They said, come with us to Carly. And like verse 15 then, we see there, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. And she didn't. It is not the white. It is the precious ornaments of grace that come from knowing Scripture as a child. Parents' greatest responsibility, I think, is to teach that. Typically, it's not taught by a village either. It's taught by a mother and a father. So, what are these ornaments? Precious things. They are that which comes from knowing the Scripture and believing God. Peter describes some of these in his writings. And I want to look at those today. There's six of them that he mentions. And I want to take a look at each one of them. So if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1855 in the Companion Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1855. Verse 7, in that first chapter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith sometimes is tested. These friends of Carly was trying to test her. The trial of your faith. You become sometimes outcast. You become shunned. You are, for some reason, different. Too white or too black has nothing to do with it. It's these things that are described as ornaments of grace to a life. We all in this life have trials and tribulations. The death of family, for example, we just experienced in our family with Rosemary's sister. Sickness and suffering all around. Much enduring and sorrow we sometimes have in our lives. But our Savior Christ Jesus understands. Why? Because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death in the same sufferings and even more than what we have suffered. The trials of your faith are abrasive. But you know what? Abrasives polish. They have an effect, these things, on your life. And according to what Peter says here in verse 7, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, you're going to better understand these sufferings when he appears. Described here as more precious than gold. The second thing that Peter talks about is found in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ. Knowing and understanding about this precious blood of Christ is an ornament of grace given to you that believe. It is not the blood itself. It's not corpuscles. This is a figure of speech of his death, representing what he went through on the cross for us in the end because of our sinful nature in the human race. And this forgiveness and atonement is associated with one of these ornaments of grace. This is something that is so infinitely above corruptible things like silver and gold, this ornament of grace. Your Visa card can't purchase it. It only comes through that faith in him. This is one of those, the first ornament of grace. Peter talks about a third ornament here in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The living stones. Notice the double reference there to living stones. What are these stones that he's talking about? Christ and man. Both are precious to the God, the Heavenly Father. In every generation, in every race. Now, Peter here, some might say, well, he's speaking to the Jews. That's true that he is in this case. But the principles apply across the board to all races and to all dispensation of time. Man and Christ, precious stones to them that believe. These ornaments of grace is that you will be not be confused or be put to shame, but made acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, no matter your color or your race. Peter speaks of a fourth ornament, I think, found in verses 7 and 8, then, of this second chapter. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. And that, of course, now he's talking to the Jew there, but these principles go across all dispensations. The problem is that it is only seen by those that believe. These ornaments. They're seen, but they're not understood. They don't know what sets a person apart that has this. I didn't describe it, but back there in Proverbs, that word ornament of grace is a diadem, a crown, a necklace that sets one apart. They're seen, but not understood except by those that believe. Why? Because the gods of this world have blinded them which believe not. Satan doesn't want it known what makes this person different. But they cannot and will not acknowledge, see, or believe the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And today it's shunned and poo-pooed and disregarded everywhere. Especially in celebrity, in the educational system. He, Christ, is a stumbling block in the building of the spiritual house spoken of in this verse. And this house is never completed, by the way, until he returns. It's continuing to be built with rocks rather than reeds that are shaken in the wind. People who accept and know and understand and wear these garlands of grace in their life. The fifth precious ornament is found by Peter here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here the ornament is faith. It is precious, but not common, as Carly and we all, I think, have found out in our lives. It can be possessed by many, in that it is available to all, it's free. However, unfortunately, it is not considered valuable like silver or gold, because they are rare, unavailable to most, too expensive. But this precious gift of faith is free to all who will believe. Then the sixth one that Peter speaks about, we find here in beginning with verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, the godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and about, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The promises of God. The knowledge and promises of God are precious ornaments of grace. They hang on our head and around our necks like a garland of grace. But most don't wear them. Don't see them, don't acknowledge them. They are therefore a part of the joy that we read in 2 Timothy about Timothy. He had these things from a child. They set us apart from the world. They are distinguishing, but most do not know from whence they come until they accept this gospel of Christ. They bridge all dispensations in God's plan for the ages. These ornaments are to be celebrated, especially in this season of the year that we just passed, as we celebrated the one responsible for providing them to us, that baby in a manger 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, who became Christ Jesus, the God-man. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for these precious ornaments, for the knowledge that we have through the written word, for the love that you have for us, for the salvation and the redemption through your Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful that you are therefore mindful of us, giving us strength through the written word and through these ornaments of grace. I pray that we will all continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, and that we will all be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.